The opinions expressed here on this commentary are those of myself and guest, not necessarily those of the underwriters or the volunteers or the employees of Tri-State Public Communications, WHDD, WBSL, WLHV, or CATV6 or CATV252. With that being said, I want to play a clip this morning. And it's going to lead in over a year and a half ago is when parents really started complaining, first about the implementation of a schedule that the parents, teachers, and students didn't like, and also the possible implementation of a mastery-based learning system, thinking that no one was against it, but it was being implemented much too quickly. It has come to the point now where there is such a divide between a lot of parents and the board that this incident happened just last week. This is an all-boards chairman meeting with, and they bring in one of the new lawyer for the region. And I want you to hear what they think about people who have differing viewpoints than that of the board or the ABC committee. Listen closely.
That's just, if you think we can manage the discussion about the process.
I just have a couple things to say, and I do think you're fine to talk about the process, but one important thing to keep in mind is that any recorded information concerning the superintendent's evaluation is a public document subject to public disclosure, and I understand that you're not without your troublemakers in that state.
Concerned and stakeholders, so we like to call them, Tom.
Stakeholders, thank you.
Concerned stakeholders.
All right, so there you go. A lawyer who should know better, calling people in the region, taxpayers and parents and students, troublemakers, and then the ABC chair saying, concerned stakeholders, with a smile on his face and chuckles. That's a slap in the face, and that is continuing with the arrogance that has come from the Region 1 board chairman. All this really could have been avoided a year and a half ago. Well, mastery-based learning, what's it about, and what is it, and can it work? Well, Anita Flakios is joining us now, and she has been dealing with this, and we're going to talk with her for a few minutes about this. Athena, thank you for joining us this morning.
Sure. Hi, Miles. Thanks so much for having me on. As you said, my name is Athena Flakios, and I'm a local education transformation sort of facilitator, and I've founded my own group called the Good Brain Project to do that work. So I do have quite a bit of experience. I've been fortunate to have quite a bit of experience with mastery-based learning, as you call it. When the movement began, we talked about learning based on project style and portfolio style readiness with an assessment protocol that matched it, and we called that mastery-based grading. So what we were asking for students to be able to do in the design of the policy is it was pushed out of sort of Albany and other state houses nationwide, is to help schools access project-based learning, which has students learning in ways that are tangible and tactile, as we like to say, and that honors the different learning styles that have been acknowledged for 25 years now in terms of the way kids learn, and then allows them to be assessed based not on your standardized 100-point assessments, but based on their ability, their proficiency at certain skills.
All right.
So project-based learning breaks the skills down discreetly, and mastery-based grading, which is the assessment system to complement it, involves assuring students, really through their own volition, that they are competent or proficient at the skills that are designed by that project.
Now this type of system has been installed over the past couple of years. I do believe at Salisbury Central School, and seems to be working well at Salisbury Central School. Like I said, it was implemented on a much more regimented and controlled basis. It is not working at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. Parents didn't think it would work at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. Teachers didn't think it would work at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, basically because it was rolled out so fast in combination with a new schedule. But also, teachers were excluded from the formation of putting this together.
Well, that, and so I'll let 2 points you mentioned. A couple of things. One of the reasons why it works well at a school like Salisbury Central, and I'm affiliated with the region, and one reason I've told you this before why my perspective is interesting is because I'd be considered a troublemaker in the region in terms of a vendor and my work status in the region. So I've been a contractor and been successful in some realms and unsuccessful in others because of what you mentioned, pace, you know, status of individuals, teachers, stakeholders, as they call them, and implementation styles. So I've worked in both places. Salisbury Central School works well for two reasons in terms of its implementation rollout. Number one, you're working with middle schoolers, radically different population. Okay, these are prepubescent youngsters, and the teachers have a radically different approach to even project-based learning. Most of primary middle school was already based on projects, and most of it was already based on assessment that aims at proficiency and mastery. You're not really failing fourth, fifth, and sixth graders in the United States in the last 25 years. You don't give them F's on their papers and so forth. That happens in high school. So part of this is a systematic problem. You tried to implement similar assessment systems in primary, middle, and secondary schools where attitudes and practices are very different. So at Hoosie, a couple of things happened. Number one, people were not informed. There was no, let me give you an example. In the schools we were successful in New York, these were failing schools, okay? So I know this works because we took schools that were graduating 37% of their classes on time and graduated 97 in 5 years, okay? We did the impossible using this system. So that's how I know it works. However, it takes about a year-long introduction and re-education of teachers. They have to unlearn that 100-point system. They have to unlearn a mindset that says students can do a certain thing in a certain time in a certain way, and most of them are amenable because they came out of ed schools knowing that the way they were teaching secondary school was inherently flawed. So that's the one thing. The teachers were ignored. You can't do that. Teachers are the number one most important service people in a school, and the students are the most important number one clients. So two things. The rollout was too fast, and people, stakeholders, students, teachers, and parents were uninformed. And then when there was backlash, of course, instead of the administration gathering horses and saying, okay, let's refocus and refacilitate the conversation around change management, which is excruciating. You go to high school 1 year and you're graded on 100 points. And you go to high school the next year, your schedule's changed. The kids who were supported in, non-inclusion or special ed rooms or even included rooms are completely destabilized by a new schedule. And teachers have to manage all this change without any support. So the social, emotional school is completely rocked. And then the academic piece, of course, which actually is attempting to lift up the entire social and emotional readiness of students, ends up bottoming out. And that's what's happened here. And so in order to right this ship and implement it properly, really it's about ground zero. And number one, you sort of like, you know, undoing some of the damage that's been done between parents and administrators, because children are watching everything. And teachers have been just largely silenced. And mainly, marshals, we really have to be easy on teachers to some extent. I don't give them a lot of excuses when they're not teaching, you know, the way they know to teach, and they're teaching to test. I have no patience. However, we're talking about teachers in a region who are in downwardly mobile careers, as I've told you, not just jobs. So the implementation process has been flawed since get, but the system itself, if parents could just give it a minute and see how their students become stakeholders, actual stakeholders, allowing administrators, teachers, and parents to actually step aside and let students learn and really flourish.
All right. Now, we have to wrap this up because I only have a certain amount of time. If people want more information, is there on Mastery Based, is there a number where they can reach you, a website or anything like that?
Absolutely. One of the ways I fund most of my work is through a hooded sweatshirt company called Be As You Wear. So that's my online presence. But anyone, and I really will emphasize this, and please ask you to spread the love, my phone number is 203-228-2665. And I have been implementing mastery-based grading along with project-based learning in schools for the last 6 years, since, again, this was pushed out by the feds and state to state to the Common Core, I was part of designing the mastery-based grading protocol to protect children from failing out of the system. So I am passionate and devoted to talking about this. And really, any time of day, I know parents work, morning, evening, leave a message, I'll return your call. Any questions, kids, teachers, parents, administrators, if they would like to facilitate some better change, I'd love to hear from them. I'll always serve the region. Happy to do it.
All right. Thank you for taking a few minutes and joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Marshall. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
So once again, if anybody has any further questions, the telephone number to call is 203-228-2665.